Thank you. Well, good morning. Welcome to Ascend Church. We welcome you to stand with us as we worship. We are very excited to be here on a Sunday. I know sometimes it just feels like, hey, you know, I'm going to go to church, get some lunch. But when you really think about who God is and how great he is, how worthy he is of praise, it makes you want to get to the house of God immediately and shout unto him with all your heart. So I would recommend doing that today, giving him praise. Come on, church, y'all got to get loose in this place. Come on. Hey.
Excuse me for a minute. I've got a song to sing. Might not be on key, but it's from my heart. No one else can tell what the Lord has done for me. This might take all day, so I'm gonna start right now.
And it might get loud. Might get loud. Heaven's coming down, 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 and it might get loud.
Somebody say
it might get loud.
Oh,
heaven's coming down, 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 and it might get loud. I ain't got a halo. No, I'm not a perfect man. I'm just glad to be a child of God. When I think of where I could have been, should have been, would have been, if you hadn't stepped in. Oh, I've got a praise on the inside that can't be denied, and I gotta get it out right now.
And it might get love. It might get love. Heaven's coming down, down, down. And it might get love. It might get love. Heaven's coming down, 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 and it might get loud.
The chains start breaking.
It might get loud.
The chains start breaking.
Heaven's coming down, 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 and it might get loud. It might get loud.
The chains start breaking.
Heaven's coming down, 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 and it might get loud.
Him as loud as I want. Why can't I praise him as loud as I want?
Down, 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 down.
Why can't I praise him as loud as I want? Him as loud as I want.
Come on, somebody make some noise in this place.
And it might get loud.
Excuse me for a minute.
It might get loud.
I've got a song to sing.
Heaven's coming down. Coming down, 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 and it might get loud. It might get loud. Heaven's coming down, 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 and it might get loud.
Somebody get loud in this place. Come on.
Why can't I praise him as loud? Why can't I praise him as loud as I want? Why can't I praise him as loud as I want?
the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go.
I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need, you got. There's honey in the rock.
Praying for a miracle, thirsty for the living well. Only you can satisfy. Sweetness on the mercy seat. Now I've tasted, it's not hard to see. Only you can satisfy.
There's honey in the rock. 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 Well, freedom where the spirit is. In the wilderness, you will always satisfy. Yeah, there's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground. No matter where I go, I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need, you got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in your blood. In your hands, started flowing when you said it is done. Everything you did lead up.
And I keep looking, I keep finding, you keep giving, keep providing. I am all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving, I keep praising. You keep proving I am all that I need. You are all that I need. You know what I'm talking about? Say,
I keep looking, I keep finding. You keep giving, keep providing. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising. You keep proving I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. Yeah. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground. No matter where I go, I don't need to worry. Everything I need, you got.
Honey in the rock,
purpose in your plan, power in your blood, healing in your hand. Started flowing when you said it is done. Everything you need, lead up. It's honey in the rock. It's honey in the rock. Trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon.
death is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
I love about singing that, you know, it's not just singing about what happened at from the cross to the throne, but the fact that we are in a position where everything we need has been taken care of. The Bible says that when Jesus rose from the dead, that he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and everything that comes with it. And so when we come to him, this is going to be a time of prayer. When we come to him, we're not coming to beg God to do something on our behalf. We're not going to try and twist his arm to get him to do something. We come to receive what's already been done. We come by faith to say, Lord, this is what I'm facing. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for deliverance. That's what we come, when we come in a place of prayer, it's not a hoping and a praying. It's a stretch of faith where we ask God to do what exactly he said he would do. Amen. And so we're going to have this time right now where we're going to sing one more worship song. By the way, don't the worship team do a beautiful job just leading us? You know, it's not entertainment, it's worship. They see it as worship, as we do. And we're going to sing one more song, and at the same time, we're going to have our prayer team up front. So if you need prayer for anything in your life, feel free to just come forward. We've seen healings and miracles take place. Nothing's too small. Nothing's too big. God is more than able. Amen. And I right now, before we do that, I just want to welcome our online church, and I want to pray for you right now. There's no distance in prayer. Many people facing many different things in their life. God knows everyone. The Bible says that he knows the number of hairs upon your head, even if you don't have many, or if you have a lot. He knows it, but he knows your need. Stretch of faith towards him right now. Father God, I thank you for your finished work of the cross. I thank you that you took our sin, you took our sickness, you took our punishment, you took everything that could possibly ail mankind, and you have the solution, and you are still a miracle worker. And so, Father, I join my faith with my brothers and sisters, and I just release the healing power of God, delivering power of God. Father, peace of mind. Thank you for working in homes and families and relationships. Thank you for miraculous change to take place right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So if you need prayer, come on up. We're going to sing one more worship song to the Lord.
Tried so hard to see, took me so long to believe it, that you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve, and you take the broken things and raise them to glory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, defeated with the one who has conquered it all. And finally
see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all the striving cease. Oh, this is my victory.
You are my champion. Oh. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence, undefeated. The heavenly place, undefeated. With the one who has conquered it all.
Greater are you that's in me than he that's in the world. You're bigger, you're greater. All of my issues. Hey.
When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority.
Come on, church, and sing with me. Sing this out. Let it be a declaration. Come on.
When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority.
Oh, yes, I do.
Jesus has
When I open up my mouth.
When I open up
I
my
see
mouth.
Miracles.
Miracles start breaking out. I have the authority.
We serve such an amazing God, such an awesome God, that even while we were still in our transgressions, he gave us life and raised us up with Christ. Come on, church. We got so much to be grateful for. Given authority in the name of Jesus to call things that aren't there, and they will not be. Come on, church. We have too much to not shout unto God. We have too much. He's been too good. Hallelujah. Oh.
When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down.
walls start breaking down. I have the authority.
Right there. That's straight out of the Word of God. Straight out of the Word of God. Just like I said, Jesus is seated, victorious in heaven. The Bible says we are seated together with Him. Amen. That's a reason to shout and sing. Praise God. Well, good morning, Ascent Church. Welcome. Won't you turn and greet someone? Tell them you're glad to see them and you may be seated. Thank you. We're so glad you're joining us for our service this morning. We've got a drum accompaniment. Thanks, Muff. So good. Praise God. Welcome to church this morning. Welcome to our Friends and Family Day, our fish fry. I'm getting hungry already. We've got a whole team of guys out there. Tommy said to me, I've got the stern of the ship. If you guys got the whatever the other side is, he's like, what's it? You don't know. Anyway, they've got it going on back there. They're getting ready for our fish fry, and we're looking forward to that and a time of fellowship with you all. But thank you for being with us in church today. I pray that you get something out of this service that really ministers to you, ministers to your situation, to your family, to your life. And God works that way. He kind of speaks to us through various means, right? Through His Word, by His Holy Spirit, through other people around us. And so I pray that you receive that today. But I especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? You'll find out how friendly our people are. And we're glad you've joined us today. What we like to do is, if you're visiting, we like to just hand you a guest visitor pack. Where you're seated, don't want to embarrass you in any way. But if you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand? God bless you. God bless you. Welcome, welcome. So glad you joined us today. Thank you for inviting your friends and family. There's a few things in the... If anybody doesn't have one, just wave your hand and they'll spot you. But there's a couple of things in here for you. But one of them is a card that says guest. We ask if you just take a moment and fill that out. At the end of the service, we pass the offering bucket by. Just drop that card in, and it just really is a help to us as pastors. And for the visitors, if you don't know, I'm Pastor Steve's wife. I'm Jill. And so it helps us just know who's here, and we'd love to meet you after the service, so come and say hi to us. And we thank you for being with us today. Praise God. It's a good day, right? How about this weather? Yesterday morning, when I don't really watch the weather too much, so I kind of, when I open my curtains is when I find out what's going on with the weather. And everybody was like, is the fish fry canceled because of the weather? I'm like, what weather? And then I opened the curtains on Saturday morning, and it was like a deluge coming down. But look at it today. Isn't it beautiful? You know, so tropical storm can just keep moving on. Right. I'll just let you know that we're going to pass a clipboard by, and for those who are not first-time guests, please fill your name in. Let us, any changes you have to your email or your phone number, we appreciate you doing that. It just helps us know that you were here. And if you don't get our text, you want to stay in touch, you want to know what's coming up. Sometimes people are, oh, I'm spitting on the front row. Sometimes people are not here for a week or so. They're away and they don't know what's coming up. We just send out a weekly text, let you know what's upcoming. So you just text the word ascend to that phone number. We'll leave it up on the screen for a minute. And if you just want to connect with us, and you'll just get our weekly text letting you know special guests, different events that we have going on. And there's various ways that you can watch us online. There are people that are watching us on YouTube. I saw people subscribing to it this morning. That's a great way to do it. Go ahead. If you're a member of our church, you're not subscribed, subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's such a great outreach. It's like, you know, it's not just something that we do. It is a part of our church. It is a ministry. It's an online church that's taking place. So the people watching on Ascend Church Jupiter on YouTube, welcome. We're glad you joined us. There are people that are watching on Facebook Live. If you are on Facebook and you want to just go ahead and share it, it's a way of reaching out to your friends and family. And you can download our mobile app if you haven't done that. There's so many resources. In fact, Pastor Steve was, we were talking to someone the other day, ministering to her regarding healing. And he said, you know what, open up our app. And there were all healing scriptures to confess. There's, you know, more than 100 videos to watch, messages, but there's more than that. There's Bible reading plan, online Bible, all of that. So there's a barcode probably on your seat in front of you somewhere there, and you can just go to ascendchurch.us and go download our app. It's for your benefit, not for our benefit. It's for your benefit. Amen. And thank you for that hand clap. As we move on to the service, I know Pastor Steve's got a wonderful message, but I want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. The first one is that you would know God. The second one, you say, I do know God. Well, we're coming to know him better and better day by day until that day we go on to heaven. Amen. Yes. Then we'll know him fully. Second of all, we want you to find freedom in every area of your life, to discover your purpose and to make a difference with your life. Amen. Who's ready for the message?
I'm ready.
You're ready. That's what matters.
Yes.
That's what matters.
Thanks, babe. Good morning, everybody. Tell your neighbor, hi, good to see you. Greet them. Tell them they're looking good today. We are so glad you're here this morning. Welcome all those watching us online today. And what was I going to say? And that is, today is Pentecost Sunday. And that is, it's, you know, the Holy Spirit came to the earth on the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. So it's been 50 days since we celebrated Jesus' resurrection. And today, we celebrate Pentecost. We celebrate the fact that God sent the Holy Spirit to come to empower us, to guide us, to help us. Amen. And, well, praise God. Are you ready for God's word this morning? I also want to say to all of our new guests, we're so glad you're here this morning. And please be sure to fill out that guest card, because I would love to contact you and just find out if you enjoyed the service today. So thank you so much for doing that. Let's just pray before we get into God's word. Can we do that? Father, we just worship you today. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to the earth to redeem us. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to empower us and to help us. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome. We welcome you into this place today. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to move and to have your way and to touch every life today. I pray, Lord, that you will touch every heart and every life, that not one of us will leave here the same way that we came in, but that we will be changed by your word and we will be changed by your spirit. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for everything that will be said and for everything that will be done in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Well, we are in a series, we started it last week, called Beyond Blessed. Say Beyond Blessed. So this is going to be part number two. And what I mean by beyond blessed, living a beyond blessed life, it's to be beyond blessed, it's where God so blesses you. You are so blessed that you can be a blessing and you can bless other people. Amen? You get so blessed, everything you need is taken care of, but you become a river where blessing flows through you to be able to meet people's needs and fulfill God's purpose in the earth. And you know that God said to Abraham in Genesis 12 verse 2, he said, I will bless you and make you famous and you will be a blessing to others. Notice that God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing to other people. In fact, Galatians chapter 3 verse 29 says, now that you belong to Christ, let me see your hand if you say I belong to Christ, wave at me. This is talking to you. Now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. So when God said to Abraham, that I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing, that promise is for you and I today, where we can be so blessed, where everything we need is taken care of, God has been so good to us, and then we become a blessing to others. Amen. Now, to live a beyond blessed life, you've got to realize it takes two legs, just like you need two legs to get anywhere. It takes two legs. And the two legs are stewardship, being a good steward, and generosity. Being a good steward and being generous. You could be generous, but if you're not a good steward, it's going to limit what God can do in your life. And then again, you may be a good steward, but not be generous, and God's not going to be able to bless you like he wants to. You need both things happening, be a good steward and being generous. Now, we spoke about stewardship last week, and I just want to kind of add a couple of things to that. We found out last week that when we speak about being a steward, what you've got to understand is we are not owners. We are stewards. A steward is a manager. We manage what God entrusts to us. But God owns everything. Everything belongs to the Lord. In Psalm 24, verse 1, it says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything in the earth belongs to God. In Psalm 50, it says every beast of the field belongs to God, is God's. In Haggai chapter 2, it says the gold and the silver belongs to God. Everything you have, you got to understand, you don't own it. It belongs to God. That's what the Bible teaches. So this ring I got on my finger, it's got some black diamonds in it. I bought it at a pawn store. P-A-W-N. I got a good deal on it. Because I'm a good steward. And a good steward, I always like to get good deals. But ultimately, this ring doesn't belong to me. The diamond that went in that ring came out of the earth, which belongs to God. See, if you're going to be a good steward, you've got to get the understanding that I don't own anything. Everything I have came from God, and it all belongs to God. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 26, in the New Testament, it says, the earth is the Lord's and all that it contains. So we don't own anything. It all belongs to God. God blesses us, and he entrusts us. He entrusts funds to people who are proving to him that they'll be good stewards with those funds. Giving when God tells them to give, not wasting their resources on useless things. We saw this last week in the parable in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. Jesus told this parable about a man. He actually called him a lord who went on a long journey, and he called his servants together and he distributed his goods to them. to one he gave 5 talents, and to one 2 talents, and to another one 1 talent. And a lot of people think that that refers to ability. When they read the word talent, they think of its ability, its giftings that God's given me, but it doesn't. A talent was a measurement for gold and silver. Jesus was actually talking in the parable about money, that the man gave 5 talents of silver or gold, it doesn't say, to one servant, and 2 talents, that's a measurement. A talent was 100 pounds. So it's 100 pounds of gold or 100 pounds of silver. And then after a long time, the Lord came back to settle accounts with them. And how many of you know Jesus is coming back and we're going to have to give an account of our life and of what we did with what he entrusted to us? A lot of people don't think they're going to give an account. We are all going to stand before the Lord one day, and we all are going to give an account for our life, how we handled his money, because everything I have belongs to him. So the one man in the parable in Matthew 25 who'd been given the 5 talents, he brought back 5 more talents. He doubled them, and so did the man with 2 talents. He'd gained 2 more. He doubled them. And the Lord said to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Have you ever heard that statement before? For me, that's what I want to hear the Lord say. I want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." I want to hear him say that. We're all familiar with that saying. That's what every Christian, I think, wants to hear. I would hope so. And you know, this is the only place in the Bible where you see that, and it's talking about money. It's talking about taking care and being good stewards. The people who hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," are the people who are good stewards over what God gave them. Stewardship is the management of the property of another. Stewardship is to protect and expand the resources of another. If you're a 5-talent person, God expects 5 talents back from you. Let's say there's a person who has the ability to give $1 million, but they only give $500,000. And let's say there's another person who has the ability to give $50, but she gives $200. Which one do you suppose is going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? See, God's judging us by what he gave us. We've got a lot of 5-talent people that give like a 1-talent person. And the question that you've got to ask yourself is, am I a good steward? Am I being a good steward over what God has entrusted and blessed me with? In Luke chapter 12, verse 16, Jesus told another parable. He said, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?'" Notice, he thought they were his, my crops. And then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods." You see, he was thinking like an owner instead of thinking like a steward. And in verse 19, he said, "And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many, many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Now, he didn't get reprimanded because he made a lot of money. That wasn't the problem. He didn't get reprimanded because he built bigger barns. He didn't get reprimanded for storing it. He got reprimanded for living for himself and not living for the kingdom and not living for others. That's what he got reprimanded for. You see, a good steward is managing everything God's given you so that you can be a blessing when God wants you to be a blessing. You do what the Lord tells you to do. Man, even when it comes to buying things, I'm not going to buy anything until I pray and ask the Lord if that's what I should do, because He might have something better for me. I'm the steward and God is the owner. Let me tell you, God blesses you supernaturally when you begin to practice stewardship principles. Supernatural doors begin to open for you. See, a good steward is wise about spending. They don't waste money. Why pay $500 for something when you can pay $300 for it? I want to be a good steward. Amen. The second leg of living a beyond blessed life is to be generous. And that's really what I want to talk about today. I want to speak about generosity brings blessing. And in Proverbs chapter 11 in verse 24, listen to this amazing scripture. It says, generosity brings prosperity, but withholding from charity brings poverty. Those who live to bless others, say those who live to bless others, will have blessings heaped upon them. And the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. In other words, there is favor that comes on you, and there are blessings that are heaped on you when you live your life to be a blessing instead of just being blessed. In Psalm 37, verse 21, it says, the godly are generous givers. What does it mean to be godly? It means to be like God. And you see, God is the ultimate generous one. And so those who are godly, those who are like God, are generous too. So the second question you have to ask yourself if you're going to live a beyond blessed life is, am I generous? Am I generous? We have to each ask ourselves that question. Because, you know, the Lord's used me and I've been able to give a lot in my life. But I still see selfishness in my life from time to time. I mean, God is continually rooting selfishness out of our life. I mean, have you ever wondered, why did God even invent giving? God didn't create giving for His sake. He's already got it all. Everything belongs to Him. He didn't create giving for His sake. He created giving for our sake. Because giving is a divine law that brings increase in your life. Jesus said, give and it will be given unto you. Secondly, giving is what works selfishness out of your life. The more generous you become, the less selfish you are. And you know, we are all born with this battle between selfishness and generosity. And there's a passage in the Bible that really shows selfishness and generosity as clearly as you're ever going to see it. And that is in John chapter 12. In verse 1, it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. It was perfume. And she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. And it says, but one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray Him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? That this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money box. And he used to take what was put into it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have with you always. Now, two questions jump up from this scripture as I read it. Number one is, why did Mary give such a generous gift? The Bible says that it was worth 300 denarii, which is a year's wages. And in fact, if you read the New Living Translation, it translates it like that. It says that perfume was worth a year's wages. Now, why would Mary give such an extravagant offering? Because that would be extravagant for anybody here. I mean, no matter what your salary is, a year's wages is a very generous gift. Would you not agree with that? I believe the reason why Mary gave such a generous, extravagant gift was out of gratitude. Because Jesus had just raised her brother Lazarus from the dead in the previous chapter in John chapter 11. What do your offerings say about your gratitude and your love for God? What does your spending say about what's truly important to you on this earth? Because let me tell you, generosity is extravagant. When you become generous, it is extravagant. There's actually three levels of giving in the Bible. The first level of giving is called tithing. That is where we bring the first tenth of our income to the Lord. The second level is offerings. That's anything we give over and above the tithe. And the third level is extravagant offerings. Now, sadly, most Christians never get past the first level. Many Christians struggle with tithing. And let me tell you, tithing doesn't really make you generous. It's the first level of giving, but in God's eyes, that's not necessarily generosity because the tithe already belongs to God. But those who get to the first level of tithing usually move on to the next level of giving offerings because tithing removes the curse and opens the windows of heaven above us, and God begins to pour out blessings. But very few Christians ever reach the third level of extravagant giving. And this really, it's a tragedy because they never experience the amazing joy of giving an extravagant offering to the Lord. And let me tell you, you can. You can, just like many of the remarkable figures in the Bible did, you can step into this place of being a generous giver. The second question that I think about when I read this is, why did it make Judas so mad? Why did Judas Iscariot get so mad with Mary's offering? Because we've got two hearts displayed here. Remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen? So we see two hearts displayed, a heart of generosity and a heart of selfishness. The enemy of generosity is selfishness. Say, the enemy of generosity is selfishness. The truth is, the Bible says Judas didn't care about the poor. He really wasn't concerned about the poor because he was a thief and he was stealing from the money box. He pretended that he was thinking about others, but really he was just thinking about himself because the enemy of generosity is selfishness. Now, I've got some bad news for you, and that is you were born selfish. We were all born selfish. But here's the good news. You were born again generous. But you've got to grow as a believer. You've got to renew your mind and allow your inner nature to rule over your fleshly, sinful nature, so that you can become more generous and we can become better stewards so that we can become more generous. But if you want to be, let me tell you, if you think about the words generous and selfish, think about those, that the word generous starts with a G. Move on for me, Michelle. And God begins with a G. And the word selfish begins with an S. And Satan begins with an S. Because Satan is selfish and God is generous. And theologically, we say that we were born with an Adamic nature. Adamic means like Adam. And that's referring to Adam's fallen nature after sin. The Bible says that sin was spread to all mankind. It's been passed down to all of us. And Adam means mankind. It doesn't just mean male. In fact, in the beginning, Eve's name was also Adam. According to Genesis 5, verse 2, God called both of them mankind. So we were born with a mankind nature, with a fallen mankind nature. we were not only born with an Adamic nature, we were born with a satanic nature. Jesus, you see, that fallen nature of Adam came from the enemy. When Adam sinned, that's when he took on the nature of the devil instead of the nature of God. And Jesus said in John 8, verse 44, he said to the religious leaders in his day, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." Do you know the truth is, all of us, the devil was our father before we received Jesus as our Lord. The devil was influencing us, and we all had that nature. We were all born in sin with a satanic nature, and that's why we have to be born again. Because when you receive Jesus and you are born again spiritually, you receive a new nature. You receive God's nature on the inside of you. That's what it says in 2 Peter 1 verse 4. It says, God made great and marvelous promises so that his nature would become part of us. His nature would become part of us. Say, I have God's nature on the inside. It says, then we can escape our evil desires and the corrupt influences of this world. When you receive Jesus into your life, the Bible says you are born again and you receive the nature of God. You are changed on the inside. You see, Satan is selfish. He wants to turn every conversation toward himself. You can see Satan's nature displayed in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, talking about the devil. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. Because the devil used to be Lucifer. He was an angel created by God. And the name Lucifer means a bearer, a reflector of light. He reflected light. And it says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, mighty though you were against the nations of the world. You see, Lucifer, that was Satan's original name. He was an angel created by God, but he rebelled against God. He became proud. And instead of how many, Lucifer is like a spotlight. A light bearer, spotlight. He was supposed to put the spotlight on God, but he started putting the spotlight on himself. He wanted to exalt himself, and he led a third of the angels in a war against God. This is all in the Bible, and he was cast out of heaven. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the heaven to the earth. He was cast out of heaven, and he became the devil, and those other angels became demons. But the Bible says that the devil can transform himself into an angel of light. And he still deceives people today. That's where all the false religions come from, is as angel of light. In verse 13 of Isaiah 14, it says, for you said to yourself, I will ascend to the heaven and rule the angels. I will take the highest throne. I will preside on the mount of the assembly far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens, and I will be like the Most High. That's a lot of I wills in two verses. Notice how many times he said, I will, because he wanted to be lifted up. He wanted to be exalted. He wanted to be worshipped. You can see this all throughout Scripture. When Satan came to tempt Jesus, what did he say? If you will fall down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth. And Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord your God. The Lord your God. You see, Jesus, on the other hand, he turns every conversation off of himself and onto the Father. When they said, we love the miracles you do, what did Jesus say to them? He said in John 5:19, the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. When they said, we love your teachings, we love your preaching, what did Jesus say? Jesus said in John 12:49, I don't speak on my own. I only say what the Father who sent me told me to say. He put all the attention and gave all the glory to the Father instead of wanting to put it on himself. You see, we are born with this satanic nature. We are born trying to get the attention on ourselves. But when we get born again with God's nature, then we want to put the attention on the Lord. I can prove that we still have a little bit of selfishness in us, a little bit of look at me. Because who's the first person that you look for when you see a group picture? You look for yourself. And if you don't look good, it's a bad picture. That's a bad picture. Throw that picture out because you don't look good in it. Let me prove to you that we're born selfish. A baby is a baby's first words, they're all always the same. It's not mama, it's not dada, it's I. They started from day one in the hospital. I. In essence, they're saying, I want to be fed. I want to be changed. I want to be held. Now, the second word may be mama or dada or something like that. But one of the first 10 words is going to be mine. 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 You could be in another room and you start hearing mine, mine, mine. You go trying to find, where's the sound coming from? Mine, mine, mine. And the parent, you know, has to go through the house, find where the sound's coming from. You finally get to the other room, and normally there's a younger child pulling something from an older child, and the younger child is saying, mine, 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 mine. And let me tell you, there's an age when parents don't care about justice. They don't care about whose it is. They just want peace and quiet. So they'll say something stupid like, just give it to her. Just give it to her. And the older child says, but Dad, it really is mine. Just give it to her. She's got things of mine too. Just give it to her. See, that's how we start out. We start out selfish. And the enemy of generosity is selfishness. I heard a pastor tell this story. He had a visiting pastor staying with him in his home, and they were going after church to a restaurant, and they drove past some really big homes in this beautiful neighborhood, and there was this really big house, and the owner happened to be a member of this pastor's church, who lived there, and he knew that the man had prospered by following biblical principles and by being a generous giver. But the guest pastor who was with him saw this house and said, wow, look at that house. He ought to sell it and give it to the poor. And the pastor who was driving him said, do you know who was the first one who said that, who made that statement? Judas of Iscariot, the one who betrayed the Lord. He was the first one who said that. And Judas didn't say it because he cared about the poor. He said it because he was a thief. So this pastor said to the other pastor, you don't care about the poor, because if you really did, you'd sell your house and you'd go give it to the poor. See, he didn't care about the poor. He just resented that someone else had a nicer house than him. Do you know what extravagance is? It's someone who has more than you. Someone said, well, that's an extravagant car. I'd never buy a car like that. I mean, I sure could do a lot of good with the money they spent on that car. Then they get a raise and they say, hey, you know, I think I could afford that car now. They say, I'd never live in that neighborhood. That's so extravagant. Then they get a raise. Hey, I think I can afford to live in that neighborhood now. You see, here's Judas doing this. And this is selfishness, because Judas had the money box and he was stealing from the money box. And remember, who is the leader of these 12 people? It's Jesus. So who gave Judas the money box? Jesus did. Why did he do that? Because Jesus knew that Judas was stealing. In fact, 2 years before this, he said, did I not choose 12 of you and one of you is a devil? He knew that Judas was what he was going to do. He knew he was going to betray him. So why did Jesus give the money box to fail? Did he give Judas the money box that he would fail? No. God doesn't tempt any man. And with every temptation, the Bible says God will make a way of escape. God's not tempting anyone. Jesus was actually giving Judas a chance to change his ways. Judas was taking money out of the money box that you could call the offering box. Now, here's what we may be sitting here, and you know, when you read that, you think, man, I'd never do that. I would never steal money out of the offering box. Can you imagine today when the offering bucket comes by and you just grab some out there where nobody's looking? But last week we saw that the tithe belongs to the Lord. 10% of your income belongs in the offering box. And if you keep it in your account, isn't it the same thing as what Judas did? Isn't it the same thing as taking it out of the money box? The Bible says that Judas was a thief. Remember, we read in Malachi chapter 3 where it says that when we do not bring the tithe to God, that we rob him of tithes and offerings. Leviticus 27 says the tithe belongs to the Lord. So if I'm not putting my tithe in the offering, isn't it the same thing as what Judas did? In Joshua chapter 7, the Bible says they stole from God. because they took what belonged to God. And I know it's tough for some people to hear these things, but can I tell you that money is a bigger test than what you think? Because God is seeing if He really is first in your life. He's seeing if you really can handle true riches. So the enemy of generosity is selfishness. Let's talk about the extravagance of generosity. Generosity is extravagant. Mary gives a year's wages. Now, that's extravagant for anyone, no matter what your salary is. That is extravagant. Does an extravagant gift impress God? The answer is yes. But you got to understand what extravagant is to God. Is it the amount or is it how we give it? Because in Mark chapter 12, it says, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and He saw how the people put money into the treasury. Jesus is watching as people are putting money into the treasury, the temple, a church, you could say. It doesn't say that Jesus was watching how much. It says that He was watching how they gave. He was watching their heart. He was looking at their attitude. And it says, many who were rich put in much. And then one poor widow came and she threw in two mites. Two mites make up one Roman penny. One penny. And it says, so He called to His disciples and He said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. In the contemporary English version, it says, everyone else gave what they didn't need. But she is poor. She gave everything that she had. And the Message Bible says all the others gave what they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. So notice extravagant giving is not necessarily measured by the amount you give, but is measured by the amount you give compared to what you have. Are you with me? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, it says, the size of the gift doesn't matter. Your gift is fully acceptable to God according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. Here's another extravagant offering in the Bible. When David gave an offering to build the temple for God, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David said this. He said, using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for the building of the temple of my God. And now because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I've already collected for His holy temple. And in verse 4, he said, David said, I'm donating more than 112 tons of gold from Ophir and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings of the temple. 112 tons of gold and 262 tons of silver. David's offering to build the temple, his personal offering, was over $6 billion in today's currency. Now, how many would agree that is an extravagant offering? And look what, I love what David said about it. Look what David said about it in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. He said, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O God. See, David understood stewardship. And this is your kingdom. And we adore you as the one who is over all things. Look what he said in the next. He said, wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion people are made great and given strength. Oh, our God, we thank you and we praise you, your glorious name. He said, who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. I mean, what an attitude to have. He didn't come into church and say, man, I'm bringing in a $6 billion offering, everybody. Man, Mr. Generous. He said, I'm only giving you, God, that which is yours, which you gave to me. Everything belongs to you. I mean, what an amazing attitude that David had. He understood stewardship. He understood that God is the owner of everything. And his son Solomon was also an extravagant giver. Solomon, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 1 verse 6, Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Now, this was a king's offering. This was extravagant generosity. Did it impress God? Yes, that night, the Bible says, God appeared to Solomon, and he said, Solomon, ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. Whatever you want. Let me tell you, someone who's not an extravagant giver, this isn't going to happen to them. You're not going to have God appear to you in the middle of the night and say, ask me whatever you want. Solomon demonstrated he was generous. He demonstrated he was a good steward. And he asked for wisdom to lead Israel. He said, Lord, I'm asking you to give me wisdom. And God replied in verse 11. God said to Solomon, because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you didn't ask for wealth or riches or fame, or even the death of your enemies, or for a long life, but rather you ask for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people, I will certainly give you the wisdom and the knowledge you requested, but I will also give you wealth and riches and fame such as no other king has had before you or ever will have in the future. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you so famous, and I'm going to make you so wealthy such as no king before you and no king since. Why? Because of Solomon's generosity. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, when Solomon dedicates the temple, he offers an offering of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. He went from 1,000 burnt offerings to 144,000. I mean, that's extravagant. Does God reward generosity? Absolutely. Let's talk about the reward of generosity. Because in Proverbs 11:25, it says, generosity will be rewarded. God is a rewarder. And when God can find a good steward, a generous person, let me tell you, he rewards them. God is the ultimate generous, extravagant giver. The story of Mary's extravagant giving by anointing Jesus with the expensive perfume. It's also recorded in Mark, and it's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. In Mark chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. We're still talking about it today. We're still talking about it 2,000 years later. How'd you like to be the one all the way through heaven? Hey, there's that woman who gave that extra. She gave the perfume, poured it on Jesus' feet. Was worth a year's wages. How'd you like to be known as that person for all eternity? There's a reward for what she did. It's recorded in the best-selling book of all time, and we're still talking about it today. It's told all over the world. She got a reward because she was an extravagant giver. Can you say amen, someone? But let me tell you what stops us from being extravagant givers is selfishness. We have to continually work on being generous, because we're born selfish, but we can work on it. Generosity is extravagant. God wants us to be extravagant givers like he is. I love what the Apostle Paul wrote. I'm going to read you just seven verses. I want to read you two chapters, seven verses from one and five verses from the other. These are two of the most powerful chapters in the entire Bible on generosity. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to just pull a couple of verses out because I can't say it any better than what the Word of God says it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1, listen to this. It says, we must tell you about the grace of God poured out upon the churches in Macedonia. For even during a season of severe difficulty and tremendous suffering, they became even more filled with joy. From the depths of their extreme poverty, superabundant joy overflowed into an act of extravagant generosity. So this is what extravagant generosity is about. These people are going through a tough time, it says, but I can verify that they spontaneously gave, not according to their means, but far beyond what they could afford. Talking about extravagant generosity. They actually begged us for the privilege of sharing in this ministry of giving to God's holy people. They exceeded our expectations by first dedicating themselves fully to the Lord and then to us according to God's pleasure. That is why we appeal to Titus, since he was the one who got you started and encouraged you to give so that he could help you complete this generous undertaking on your behalf. And verse 7 says, you do well and you excel in every respect, in unstoppable faith, in powerful preaching, in revelation knowledge, in your passionate devotion, in sharing the love we have shown you. So make sure, tell your neighbor, make sure that you also excel in grace-filled generosity. Say, God wants me to excel in generosity. Look at the next chapter now. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the next chapter, verse 6. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving. It's all because God loves hilarious generosity. And God is more than ready. Say, God's more than ready. He's more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment, and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing that you do, just as the scriptures say about the one who trusts in him because, say it louder, because he has sowed extravagantly and given to the poor, his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. And then it wraps it up, man, in verse 10. It says, this generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, he is even more extravagant towards you. If you think you're extravagant, God is far more extravagant toward you. First, he supplies every need plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it so that the harvest of your generosity will grow and you will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion. You will be enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion. Man, what a passage of scripture. All those generouses and generosity and extravagant all in one passage. Let me tell you, God is the ultimate extravagant giver. And he delights when we become like him and we become generous, extravagant givers. Some of you have never given an extravagant gift to God. I want to encourage you to step up, excel in the area of giving, and watch what supernatural things God does in your life. Watch and see what the Lord will do. Let me tell you, man, what happens when God speaks to you about giving an extravagant offering. I remember we were 27 years old. The Lord called us to leave Johannesburg in South Africa and go to Cape Town and start a church. And we didn't know anybody in Cape Town. And we sold our home. And it was all the money we had in the world. We took all that money and we felt the Lord speaking to us. And we gave it all to start the church, to buy chairs and buy sound systems and rent buildings and all of that. We gave it all for the kingdom of God. So we weren't able to buy a home. We rented a house because we didn't have any down payment. We gave it all away. But can I tell you, God made it up to us. God has blessed us. I'd be here all day telling you how the Lord has been good to us and how God opened doors for us. But when God speaks to you about giving an extravagant offering, let me tell you the steps that you're going to experience to extravagant giving. Number one, first you've got to hear from God. The Bible says, give as you purpose in your heart. Let the Lord lead and guide you. It's not hard to hear from God. The Holy Spirit speaks to you down in your heart. It's usually a soft impression on the inside. And frankly, it's quite easy to talk yourself out of it if you allow yourself to, because God speaks down here. It's like a whisper on the inside. Secondly, the second step is you get excited. You get excited. You hear from God. But that doesn't last very long, because it almost certainly gives way to step number three. You feel fear. Fear starts to come on you. You'll have thoughts that tell you, this is crazy. This is crazy. You know what I'm talking about, Teresa? This is crazy. I know there's Teresa, a single mom, one of our biggest givers in our church. As a single mom, God has blessed her abundantly. She knows what I'm talking about. Because let me tell you, faith is crazy to the natural mind. When God tells you to do something, sometimes it is crazy. Number four, you hear the voice of logic, the voice of reason. You start thinking of reasons why you shouldn't do what you heard God say. Don't you think that Abraham had to wrestle with logic when God told him to offer his only son Isaac on the altar? I'm not saying logic is wrong. I'm just saying that if logic says one thing and God's word says something else, I'd rather listen to God's voice than listen to logic. And then number five, you begin to doubt. Oh, did I really hear God? Maybe that was just me. What if it was the devil? What if it was the devil? Do you really think the devil is going to try and get you to give money to the kingdom of God so people can get saved? Do you think the devil's encouraging people to give to the kingdom of God so people can... No, not the devil. But then finally, step number six, faith rises up on the inside of you. You feel that faith. And once you get back into faith, the excitement returns. That's when you can follow through and you can obey what God's telling you to do. So ask yourself, am I generous? Am I excelling in generosity toward God? Or is selfishness the dominant force in my life? How much of you does God have? Does God have all of you? Does he have your money? Does he have your possessions? Because God wants to do a work in your heart and make you generous, where you become generous. You become a river for blessings. Were you blessed? Man, God blessed you. You got everything you need. But you let those blessings flow through you. And you're a steward where you, before you spend, you say, Lord, is this, you seek the Lord. You let the Lord guide you. Because it's not my money, it's God's money. Let me tell you, when God knows he can trust you like that, he's going to open doors and he's going to bring the wealth of the sinner into the hands of the righteous. That's what the scripture says. The Bible says that the wealth of the sinner has been stored up for the righteous. But let me tell you, there's some righteous that I wouldn't give it to. If I was God, there's some righteous I wouldn't give money to, because it'd be the worst thing you ever did. First of all, we'd never see him back in church again. Some people are like, if I won the lotto, Pastor Steve, if you won the lotto, I'd never see you again. You'd be out on your yacht. You'd be out here. We'd never see you in church again. And you think he's a lot smarter than me. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous, but the righteous have got to be good stewards, and they've got to be led by the Lord, and they've got to realize it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God, and I'm not a reservoir. I'm a river for blessings to flow through me for the kingdom of God and to be a blessing to other people. Amen. I want to pray for you. Can I pray for you today? I want to pray for you. Father, Lord, I pray that you will do a work in all of our hearts, in every area, the small ones and the big ones, Lord, that we will become generous, extravagant givers. And that we remember that it wasn't just like Mary, whose brother was raised from the dead. We've been raised from the dead, Lord. We have family who've been raised from the dead. Amen. And I just pray, Father, right now that we will become generous, extravagant givers, and that we will live a life that is beyond blessed, so blessed that we can be a blessing to other people in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Did you get something out of this today? One, two. Well, I just, I really felt the Lord put this on my heart, and I tell you something, I believe that we are headed for some tough times in America financially. It's going to get darker. But I really believe that part of my preaching this is God wants to get us ready, because He's able to bless you and take care of you no matter what's going on out in the world. God's able to bless you and make you a blessing while everybody else may be struggling. You can be prospering if you will do things His way. If you'll do things God's way, you'll see God's blessing in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to give to the Lord today. This is the time we're going to put into action that which we've heard. All the generous, extravagant givers shouted amen. I said all the generous and extravagant givers said amen. If you're watching online, you are welcome. Thank you for your giving. You're welcome to give. There's different ways that you can give. You can, if you're sitting here in church, there's an envelope in the seat back in front of you. You can give with a check or cash or credit card. You can give online at ascendchurch.us. You can give by text giving. You can give with our Cash App, PayPal, ascendchurch.us@gmail.com is our PayPal. There's various ways of giving. I want you to get yourself prepared today, because we are going to give to the Lord, and I'm going to pray over your giving today, and we're going to trust the Lord for miracles to happen in your life. Amen? Are you ready? Just give you a moment to prepare yourself. I want to say thank you to everyone who helped today preparing for our fish fry. Thank you to everyone who worked out there setting up tents, and thank you to Tommy and Christine and Bruce. I think they went out catching the fish. They caught all the fish, and they're out there cooking it. Everyone who helped today, thank you for your help. Everyone who served today, all of our volunteers, thank you for serving in God's house. We so appreciate you. We couldn't do it without you. Amen. Come on, give them a big round of applause. Everyone who helped, we appreciate you. We thank you today. Right after service, they're going to have the food ready as you go out there. We've got the tent set up and table set up, and we're going to have the food ready and music and just, you know, have some fun and fellowship this afternoon. If you did not get a ticket yet for the fish fry and you'd like to do it, you can get it online right now. If you just go online, there's a place on ascendchurch.us. There's a place in the giving where it says fish fry, I think. And if you want to get your ticket, you can do it right now. Or you can also get it in the lobby. We have them available in the lobby. Is everyone ready to give right now? Can we pray over this? Father, I thank you for every giver. I thank you for every faithful tither in this church. I thank you, Lord, that you open the windows of heaven above them. I thank you that you pour blessing upon them. I thank you that you rebuke the devourer on their behalf. I thank you, Father, for every giver. I thank you, Lord, that we have a heart of generosity. I thank you. You said that as we sow generously, that we will reap generously. I thank you, Lord, that you are the ultimate, extravagant, and generous God. And I thank you, Lord, for pouring out your blessing. I thank you for supernatural doors that are opening. I thank you for prospering and increasing and bringing promotion. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you are the God who is, you're El Shaddai. You're the God who is more than enough. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing your people with more than enough, that not only can we be blessed, but that we can be a blessing to your kingdom and to other people. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Is there anything else that we need to mention? Did you already pass the buckets? Thank you, Dimini. I'm going to do that right as we close. Thank you, Teresa. Praise the Lord. We don't have prayer this Thursday, do we? There's no prayer this Thursday. But we do have connect groups going on this week. We've got connect groups happening. No youth today. We have youth next Sunday. Alrighty. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. You sure needed to hear this. I need to hear this. Amen. Stand up with me, would you, as we close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you just bow your head for a moment? Just close your eyes if you would. Before we dismiss today, I want to pray, especially if there's anyone here, if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure whether all is right between you and God, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know without any doubt, you know that you'd go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I can't say that I'm absolutely certain. Can I tell you the good news is that you can be absolutely certain. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right, that all is well between you and the Lord, that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven and it's washed away. And you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven's a real place and hell is a real place. There's a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come out. But right where you stand, while we have our heads bowed, while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure that all is right with me and God. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. Pray for me. If that's you, right now, I ask you quickly, just lift your hand up. Just raise your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer this morning. Just lift it up now. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Thank you, Neil. Just lift it up. Anyone else? Lift it up high. Pray for me, Pastor Steve. Include me in that prayer. All right, I'm going to ask everyone, would you say this prayer with me before we go today? The scripture says in Romans 10, in verse number 9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's do that. Everyone today, say that. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you sent your son Jesus to come to this earth to take my sin and to die on a cross in my place. I believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and I declare, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Say, from today, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, because you are now my Lord. And I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Everyone, God bless you. As we go out today, please get ready to go and have some fish. And we got desserts and all kinds of stuff. And go and have a great time. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. See you then. Amen.